G'day everyone and welcome to the Talking Dice Podcast. Whether you're a dice maker, collector or just a tabletop RPG lover, we've got you covered. I'm Aaron, the host of the show and author of the Critmaker Guide to Dicecraft, now available on critmaker.com. Running a podcast in 2024 is expensive business. If you like Talking Dice, please consider a one-time donation at Ko-fi. And if you love it, please consider joining our Patreon with tiers from just a couple of dollars per month. We've also got a new community Discord up for fans of the podcast and the Critmaker Guide to Dicecraft. For sponsor details and links to the Discord, check out our website, talkingdice.co. And on today's episode, we're chatting to David, the Salty Stormtrooper. Dice designer, artist, leather worker, RPG, Twitch gamer, and ex-Marine. David, it's awesome having you on the show today. So this wouldn't be a Talking Dice episode without chatting about role-playing games. Now, what's your favorite RPG today? Now, we've had a few different answers to that recently.
Yeah, obviously Dungeons & Dragons is at the top of that list. And pretty much the only thing I've played over the past 5 or so years. But I'm up to playing any custom system, you know, as long as I'm role-playing, it's fun.
What sort of classes do you like playing?
Well, what do you think, just from what you know of me, what kind of class do you think that I would play?
I don't know. I feel like you're probably somewhere between a fighter and a rogue, maybe.
Pretty close. It's always a coin toss between a paladin and a rogue.
Pally, okay, yep.
Complete opposites. That's how I like to play it. But yeah, right now my most recent character is a paladin that I'm playing with my group. I'll shout them out for Twitch, the Dungeon Mechanics, which, by the way, they're all active duty or veterans.
Oh, wow. Yep.
It's a little group that we have. But yeah, I'm playing a paladin with them. Daylan Eastbrid is his name, a very himbo type character, which wasn't supposed to be that way, but that's how it turned out.
I was going to say, I mean, what about a paladin slash rogue? You know, that could be real. Like it's you know, like there's his life in the spotlight and then his private life where he's actually a, you know, a conniving thief.
Strangely enough, I've never combined the two, but now I'm gonna have to think about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if anyone's done that, I reckon it would be a fascinating combo, right? Like
so does that mean I could combine a sneak attack with a smite?
Oh, that would be epic, wouldn't it? That would be
epic. I'm going to have to explore this further and get back to you.
But yeah, I just think it would be a fascinating combo because, well, I mean, not that. I mean, the paladin thief, because if you were that really kind of holier-than-thou type paladin and you'd have to be super good and shining and bright and all of that sort of stuff, but, you know, like come nighttime, you'd kind of disappear from the party, be like, all right, everyone, I'm going to bed. And then you'd kind of get into your other outfit. I reckon it would just be.
You know, that sounds like some deep, deep inner turmoil role-playing that would be a lot of fun.
That's the best kind, isn't it?
Like, I have to uphold this image for everyone, but at the same time, like, I got to do these dark, terrible things to take care, you know, whatever it is.
I could just imagine you know, like in the poor DM, you'd be like, you'd almost have to have two character sheets and you'd be like, hang on, wait, let me go and get my friend who can help us deal with this. And then you kind of do the superhero, you know, quick change and you've got like a little mask on or something. And so no one actually knows it's you apart from, you know, your one.
We know it's you, Dave. No, it's not.
Apart from that, you look exactly the same, but you're wearing a mask, so you know, no one can tell, but everyone, you know, pretends they don't know. It would be absolutely hilarious, I think.
I could see your armor under your cloak.
And so the Twitch group you're playing with, how often do you guys meet up? How often do you play?
Well, we've basically been on sabbatical for a few months due to scheduling. But typically it's the guy who runs a few different shows throughout the week. So it's about 3 or 4 days a week there's a show going. And ours specifically would be every other week.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
And they're all his own homebrew worlds. So it's a lot of fun to play in someone else's world. But I think that's pretty typical for Twitch D&D is homebrew worlds.
And I think they can be the most fun too, just really getting to explore someone's creation and, you know, get into their psyche and their story a bit more.
Well, now that you say that, before we started this campaign, or like it was kind of simultaneously, like we were playing our characters and we would switch scenes.
Yep.
And he had us role playing as deities creating his new world.
Oh,
it
wow.
was so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. He like gave us a list of things to take home and be like, come up with a creature, a race, and I like come up with all this stuff and why it would relate to you as the god that you chose to be and how we're going to put it into the world. It was a lot of fun.
Not only is that amazing, but it's also incredibly awesome lazy DMing.
Yeah.
I think it's like, oh, could I be bothered making this own world? Actually, let's turn it into a game. Then I don't have to bother. And everyone thinks it's amazing.
Yeah.
That's incredible, DMing.
Wait a minute. I didn't get paid for that either. But it is on Twitch, Dungeon Mechanics, if y'all want to go watch it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check it out.
It's pretty wild.
I've only just started listening to, you know, kind of some of those game. Well, not necessarily Twitch, but definitely online gaming. I mean, like there's Critical Role and all of that, but, you know, that's a bit.
Who's that? Just kidding.
Never heard of them.
No idea what you're talking about.
You know, there's just some great content creators out there and some great campaigns. I haven't even thought about Twitch. I normally just go to that for like Minecraft videos and things.
Right. I had never watched a Twitch D&D show in my life until I was doing one.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah, even Critical Role, to this day, I've never watched a full episode of it. So not that I don't want to, it's just, it's a commitment.
How is it playing on Twitch though? Is it a bit nerve-wracking? Like, I mean, I guess if there's no one watching, then it's fine. But if you've suddenly yeah. got, you know, like 1,000 people kind of, you know, yeah. waiting on your every word.
It's nerve-wracking the first time, especially because I like to do voices. And so like, not knowing who's listening or really all of the people that I'm playing with, like they're going to think I'm so weird.
Yeah.
Cause they can watch my face do these voices.
Yeah.
Like they can see me right now, yeah. But eventually you're just playing D&D and you yeah. don't care about it.
No, I'd love to give that a go. I've had a couple of dice makers that I've interviewed saying, you know, wouldn't it be kind of cool if we did like a whole bunch of dice makers get together and, you know, play some one-shot adventures or something like that. So, yeah, that could be a bit of fun as well.
Everyone can bring their own dice and we can see, you know, the merit of their handmade dice.
Yeah. I also thought about bringing their own DMs. So, you know, like maybe we kind of, you know, go around the group and everyone brings brings their DM just to...
Hi, guys, this is my DM.
Yeah. It's like bring your DM to school day and...
That
but I was chatting to my friend who's our DM and he's like, oh yeah, that'd actually be kind of fun.
It would be.
Just getting to, absolutely. You know, getting to run a party with a whole group of people he's never met with, you know, someone in common, you know. So tell me, Dave, Salty Stormtrooper, Salty's Place, Damn Art, Salty Dave, what's the story, mate? Who are
yes,
you
that
and
is
what
me.
Should we call you?
All of that is me. Well, everyone calls me Salty because I made that my handle, so that's all they know me by. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, big avid Star Wars fan, and I love the Stormtroopers, bless their hearts. I was also in the Marine Corps, so I just smushed my two things together. Salty Foot Soldier, having a rough day. Now I'm a Salty Stormtrooper having a rough day.
Nice.
Yep.
And have you considered joining the 501st or anything like that?
I would absolutely love to. And that may be in the cards if I ever get around to getting a filament printer that can do big enough pieces, because, which we may talk about. If I think that I have a chance at making it, I want to do that before spending money on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is kind of why I'm, you know, here making dice.
I've met quite a few of the 501st different conventions and stuff like that, and I'm sure they're fairly similar world around. You know, like it's quite a large group there, but the costumes are absolutely spectacularly made.
Amazing. Yeah.
And, you know, the certification process they have to go through to, you know, to even be able to wear them under the 501st yep. is just absolutely incredible.
Can't just make any armor. They have to
No. Yeah, and apart from that, all of the, they do so much charitable work and, you know, hospitals and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, absolutely fantastic organization. And I think they've got chapters pretty much all over the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Now, I talked to a lot of dice makers on this show, but never actually spoken to someone who is a dedicated dice designer. Now, how did you get into that?
As I said, I like to attempt to make things before dumping money on it. It's just how my brain works. So I consider myself a serial hobbyist.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. I've met many of me in this new dice community. But the original urge came from the D&D group that I mentioned. I wanted to make a dice with the group's logo on it. So I was doing research on how to get a pretty picture on the 20 face of a D20. And boy, did that open up a world of information that I didn't know I needed to know. But I didn't want to just make your typical shapes. Because I mean, after looking up handmade dice on Instagram, there's just so much out there. A lot of it's similar. Not that that's a bad thing. The original dice shapes are what they are. They're priceless. Everyone loves them. They're nostalgic. But I like to try new things. So that research led to the Rebel Broker Productions. And one of their tier options lets you have access to like hundreds of blank shapes, different kinds of shapes. And if I'm just being honest, my goal was to join that tier.
Yeah.
Download what I needed and get out of there.
Yeah.
But to my surprise, joining that community, that Discord, they taught me so much on how to design that I eventually stayed and made great friends. A reliable rogue, Nichelle, a good friendship with her from that. And eventually, my designs were catching the eye of Rebel Broker, and they hired me on to do their design work. I've been doing that for a bit, and I've just kind of started branching out doing commissions. But the beginning goal was to cast dice with a pretty logo on it, but that's so quickly switched to just, wait a minute, I can make some crazy stuff if I think about this a little bit longer. But honestly, it's been so much more fulfilling seeing wonderful makers cast my designs and sell them way better than I could do right now. Maybe if I spend a year or so casting, I could come up with some good stuff myself. But I get that instant gratification, I guess, of like, I designed that and they're making some beautiful stuff from it. I like it a lot. It's fun.
Look, I'm 100% the same. I love the idea of people, you know, using my creations or, you know, reading my book and then creating their own amazing artwork and stuff like that. Like, I get a real kick out of that. So I completely get where you're coming from. But I've also noticed too, chatting to a lot of people at conventions, and you said about traditional dice shapes and all of that sort of stuff. I think it kind of feels like there's a bit of a 50-50 mix there. Like at conventions, some people ask for traditional dice shapes. Other people lose their freaking mind when you show them a rhombic D12.
Yeah.
And I guess I've stared at these things for too long, probably like a lot of dice makers. And it's just amazing how few people outside of the dice industry have kind of seen any different shaped dice.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy. I get it, because there's some things I can be traditionalist about, but, you know, people want their D20 to be the typical D20, or it just doesn't feel right to them, which I get. But, yep, I'll do designs for you on classic dice, sure. But if you really want me to get into it, let me go crazy with it.
What sort of shapes do you like doing? Like, are they more organic? Are they... Again, this is not a visual medium here, so...
Right.
I'm kind of interested in understanding what sort of shapes, you know, are really interesting to you versus, say, you know, our traditional mathematically balanced.
Yeah. Well, balance is still the goal.
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
It still needs to function properly. So that's unfortunately very important. Unfortunately.
But that hasn't, well, I mean, let me just, for a second there, that hasn't always been the case. Now, you know, looking back at history, they used to believe that, you know, the gods or the hand of fate controlled the dice.
Yeah.
And so there was never a particular interest in them being balanced because, you know.
I mean, knuckle bones probably weren't like even on all sides, you know.
Exactly. And those knuckle bones, you know, like your life could hang in the balance there, and it was entirely up to the, you know, whichever deity you believed in. Yeah.
Casting lots for my well-being.
I think we need more of that. And I think, you know, a lot of people are a little bit too concerned about balance, but sorry, I kind of cut you off there, but
no, it's good. So Revel Broker has a lot of the like sphere shapes, which credit due to them, they made a full set where it's spheres on both sides, the orb dice, as they call them. I love working with those because those domes, if you don't want them completely clear, you can put so much artwork on the top of those domes because there's no numbers that need to go there or anything. So I really love working with those, and creating crazy D4s is a lot of fun too, because you can make them into bigger D4s and D6s. You can get bigger die face space, so you can get crazy with designs on that. So that's a lot of fun. I'm trying to scroll through some of the things I made here to even like describe what I've created. So I've made some stick dice. You may or may not have seen them floating around. D4, D6, and D8. And, you know, they still follow the like shape where, you know, they're opposite of each other. So the D8 still follows that, but, you know, it's just stretched out, and I domed the top off, so it's kind of like a sphere. And the D6 and the D4 are just sticks, but they kind of like taper off on the end, so they kind of have like a wobble to them. And that was just me trying to recreate historical dice, like looking up pictures of old dice and like trying to come up with ideas. Those have been a lot of fun. Coming up with new ways to make, still use your standard cube for a pip dice, but coming up with new ways to show off what the pip is. So like full art on the face, and whatever the art is, will show off how many pips it is, stuff like that. Just try to think of different ways to have fun with the shapes and the designs.
You know, I've kind of been pondering the idea of making a D20 that it's even harder to get a crit on. You know, if you think about it, like a D20 has what, a 5% chance of getting a perfect 20. But, you know, what if it was like a 20-sided dice, but the chances were a lot more challenging?
Like physically hard?
You know, it's like the perfect lightning strike. The enemy's tripped over and fallen over their spear, or, you know, you've gone to hit someone with your sword and the pommel's fallen off or something like that. Like, you know, how do you deal with kind of that lightning strike type of scenario in a dice?
Yes. I love that so much. Rebel Broker made a shape. I think it was like, it's either 14, 16, or 18 face. I can't remember. But it has like a little corner triangle that's so tiny, but every now and then it does land on it. And I love that. Like, I haven't made anything with it yet, but I'd love to like put some like either severe consequences on those for like, you know, DM dice, like rolling something on there.
Yep.
That would be a lot of fun to make.
Say I'm playing a character that has some kind of disadvantage. You know, maybe it's a rather clumsy rogue. You know, I love the idea of my dice having more chance of me screwing up than succeeding. You know, and I know we kind of do that with modifiers, but there's just something about the roll or whatever that's like,
yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's got...
It's like cursed to down to an intrinsic part of their being versus numbers.
Yeah. I think there's a lot to explore in that, to be honest. And I think too many people are very stuck on the traditional ideals and, you know, and then using numeric modifiers and things like that to do that. Yeah, like, I just feel like there's a lot that could be done with that. And
a few extra one faces on that die, maybe.
Yeah, like literally blessed and cursed dice.
Like, you don't have to roll with disadvantage. You just roll disadvantage.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the disadvantage.
Yeah. So tell me, if you were going to design something like that, what would your process look like?
I mean, with the actual shape designing of that, it would come down to like just, you know, putting together shapes, cutting pieces off to make it look, to make other sides heavier than the other. Or just a simpler way would be to pick a standard shape and change the number faces,
yep.
which is not as fun, but
yeah.
As far as that, I think that's all I would do for that is just
yep.
kind of put pieces together, group them, cut them up, yep. see if I can come up with something interesting
yep.
and see how they look laying flat, how the numbers would read, you know, yep. stuff like that.
Yeah. And so in terms of software you're using, you know, 3D design software.
I typically right now I'm just using Tinkercad because it's so simple to make shapes in Tinkercad.
Is, yeah.
I mean, that's what it's for. It's for making shapes, albeit it's not meant for organic shapes. So good segue to I'm teaching myself Blender right now so that I can eventually start making some more organic looking dice. And sorry for the general population of the dice community, but some really weird dice.
Yeah, no, bring it on. I tell you, the other tool which I've been really interested in, well, I mean, I've used in the past, but would probably be interested in looking at for dice design is ZBrush, or whatever you want to call yes. it.
ZBrush.
I mean, Blender's a good free alternative, but the ZBrush interface and everything is absolutely spectacular.
That's so amazing, yeah.
Particularly for organic shape modeling, where you've got a basic primitive or whatever, and then you really just want to sketch shapes onto the dice. Yeah, I kind of want to pick up and have a bit more of a play with that.
I had to play with ZBrush in college for an art class for a little bit, and oh, it was amazing. But I can't justify the means to buy it yet. So I will suffer through my Blender training until I'm like, you know what? I deserve ZBrush.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's not just ZBrush. Then you've got, ideally a Wacom tablet or something like that.
Yeah, I've got a tablet that I could use. I probably could go for updating it, but it's a pretty old version.
And so once you've got kind of the design in Tinkercad, I'm guessing you're designing the number faces and things like that in like Illustrator or some other vector program or
yeah. Well, truthfully, because what your medium, your canvas that you're working on is so small, you don't need a lot of horsepower or
exactly.
Tools to make crazy art. So I have lots of things, but honestly, I just use, I'm not an Apple user, so I can't use Procreate, but I use Infinite Painter.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It's just an art app for the Samsung.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've kind of got it down, like my process is I'll take a screenshot of the face of the die with the grid on it so that when I'm drawing on my phone, I make sure the widths are how I like, but it's really an easy process. I'm even afraid to tell the world how easy it is because everyone will start doing it, but I'm fine with that.
Well, I mean, if everyone can start doing it, then everyone would be doing it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true.
That's the point of art, right? I mean, if that was the case, then dice makers, as they are now, wouldn't exist because, hey, everyone just picks up a copy of my book and they're doing it.
Right. Okay, fair. You win that one.
poor Nichelle at the Reliable Rogue just,
Exactly.
Like, just would cease to exist because, everyone can do it. Nah, it's not like that at all. I think, even saying I use this tool and this tool,
yeah,
putting it all together is another thing entirely, right?
I say that though, but if anyone DM'd me and was like, hey, can you show me how to do this? I'd be like, heck yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll show you my whole process because that's how I learned. Someone was like, here's my process. But yeah, it's fun. I am traditionally an artist, so my favorite part is doing the art design.
So tell us a little bit about your history and artistic endeavors. You can go right back to crayons if you want.
I picked up my first black crayon. My life was changed since. No, I hate crayons, actually. I've been doodling my whole life and eventually decided to switch to the art path in college. So I have a degree in painting and drawing, actually. So naturally, right after getting an art degree, I joined the military. That's the obvious next move.
Obviously, yep.
Now, I am traditionally trained in painting and drawing. And from there, I've just diverged into so many different paths of different types of art and crafting and stuff like that.
What sort of paintings and drawings do you like to do, as opposed to, you know, are you good at?
I love people designing, painting. I love portrait painting. I love illustrating. So you give me a novel or a scene or something like that. I love drawing people's D&D characters, especially if they give me a good scene. So if anyone's interested in some D&D art or character art, I do that too. It just takes a lot longer. But people is what I like to do. I'm not so great with landscapes and stuff like that.
And looking at your Instagram, it seems you're quite into leatherworking as well, right?
Yes, that is, I'm sure many can relate, one of the COVID things that I picked up that has just really stuck. I've enjoyed it so much. I guess very similarly to Dice, I wanted to make my own armor for a Ren Fair, a Renaissance Festival. Went to go buy some, realized that's very expensive.
It is, yeah.
Let me just Google or look on Amazon and see how much supplies would cost. Shell shock, significantly cheaper to buy the materials.
So it's cheaper just to buy a cow, right? Like, and start from
basically
there.
Yeah.
Apologies to any vegans listening, but yeah.
Yes. I would say no animals were harmed in the making of my leather products, but moving on.
Pleather. We use pleather.
Yeah, that's one thing that I've picked up that I really enjoy, which It also channels into my artistic side. I get to draw the designs that I put on the pieces, and it's a lot of fun. I just made a belt for Swole Initiative. He's big in the D&D community. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he has a Twitch channel too, Swole Initiative Network. I was happy to get to make a belt for him. That was one of my most recent things I did.
And I mean, like any art, there's a whole huge scope to leather working. You know, you've got belts and wallets and armor and accessories. So what other sort of things do you enjoy making?
Yeah, it's really overwhelming. And unfortunately, the stuff I want to make isn't really going to make me a lot of money.
Yeah, well.
Out of the gate.
What's the point of a hobby, right? Apart from making
exactly.
You broke.
I know, that's the other side to that coin. Armor is so fun to make just because you look awesome when you wear it.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
What else is there? But I am a D&D nerd, TTRPG nerd, and so I've designed what I'm calling the Navigator Scroll, and it's a leather dice tray that rolls up, has a connected pouch to it, and a little leather cup that like sits on the end of it. It kind of looks like a map case when it's on there, but it all unrolls into a tray. That's something that I spent a couple of months on designing, and finally did a giveaway with my first completion of it, which I'm very excited to make more of.
And I know you said you picked it up during the whole COVID-19 lockdown type scenario there, and I think a lot of people were in the same boat picking up hobbies. You know, I just find that really, really fascinating how many people just really wanted to get back to doing something basic like that through that period of time there, you know, whether it was, you know, pottery or dice making or leather working or whatever it happens to be.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, that's kind of what I went through too, but I think it's just, you know, being trapped inside with what before you would be like, I can't wait to get off work so I can mindlessly do these things. Now I'm here with it all the time, 24/7. And you slowly realize how necessary it is for your brain to interact on a more troubleshooting level or to get the body moving in new and different ways just to, I don't want to say just to feel something, but, you know, contributing in some small way to something else.
And look, I think that time was, you know, absolutely huge for the growth of the dice making community as well. And, you know, although some may say that there's probably too many competitors now, you know, I'm definitely a believer in the fact that, you know, competition brings ingenuity and brings new excitement and all of that sort of stuff as well, right?
Yeah. It's sometimes it's a twofold problem. Like, you know, I love seeing what the community's doing, what's out there, but at the same time, if I'm sitting on an idea in my brain and just brewing on it and I see something out there that's like remotely like it, I'm like, well, I'm just going to scrap that because so sometimes it's hard because you're like, you know, if I'm really in love with an idea, I'm going to shy away from Instagram for a while and to like flesh it out because, you know, it's tough.
Speaking of Nichelle before the Reliable Rogue, I've been following her foray into potion dice making. And to be honest, I think she's been doing an absolutely smashing job of it, even though other people have done potion dice. So
yeah.
I would kind of say, based on what you just said there, like, pursue those ideas. Like, there's always room, you know?
Yeah, she's killing it with those potion dice. I've seen so many, but none have made me drool like those.
Yeah. And there's so many designers and artists out there doing potion dice, but to kind of go, yeah, I'm just going to tackle that anyway, kind of shows that. You know, that a little bit of tenacity, even in the face of competition, can still do really well, right?
That being said, I have a full alchemy set that I've designed. It looks like an alchemy set, but each piece is a piece of the dice set. Each one is an individual dice that I'm working on. And when I saw Nichelle's dice, I asked her if she would just, you know, mold them and make them for me. She was like, I don't know.
Yes.
she's had issues trying to mold some of my designs in the past. So
right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not always, you know, maker friendly with my designs.
Well, I mean, that's what comes from, you know, from trying to push the envelope and do things a bit differently.
Take notes where needed.
So you've also mentioned to me that you've been doing some commissions lately. What sort of things are you doing in that regard?
A lot have been holiday themed, you know. I see. Yeah, all of them have been standard dice shapes. Just wanting specific art. But a lot of them have to revolve around a holiday or a theme, like a New Year's theme. One I'm doing right now, which I'm really excited about, I won't go too much into detail about doing it for, but it's I'm excited for it because it's just a D20, all the faces covered in art, and it kind of tells a story. I'm very excited about it because they've given me a lot of freedom as far as like artistic design and placement and stuff like that. So I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, and so I'm guessing that's something you'd like to do a lot more of.
Absolutely. Listen, folks, I don't care if you just want a logo on a dice. I'm here to help. I want to get my reps in, you know?
And I think that's when I reached out to you, like, this is the sort of thing that not a lot of people do. I've had a really tough time finding someone who says, I kind of specialize in designing dice. You know, you've definitely got some makers out there like myself. You know, I'm happy to throw some fonts on a dice. I'm even happy to create some interesting mathematical shapes. But it's from a very engineering perspective. They're mathematically perfect.
Hey, that's important.
But don't expect it is important. But you know, don't expect anything overly artistic. You know, and you know, I think the other thing too is people don't always understand the constraints that, you know, kind of put on based on, you know, what print is being used and all of that sort of stuff as well. And, you know, having someone that kind of understands that based on, you know, some fairly major printers, I think is also probably going to save a whole lot of trial and error.
Yeah, I was going to say, I always know when I'm pushing my limits with the art. Yeah, like, ooh, I don't know if I want to print that because as soon as they sand it, it's breaking right off.
And what sort of resin printer are you using at home?
I mean, I bought my printer specifically to print off all of my designs and other dice. I have the Anycubic Mono 4K. Yep, just your basic. I think it was like the cheapest one I could find that wasn't. That was actually like a real brand, you know? And I love it. I've pushed its limits many times, failed lots, but we've had a lot of good outcomes. But yeah, all of my printed dice I sand and polish and paint and use because to me they're beautiful just like that.
On the socials now, you're getting a little more active. I'm seeing you posting a few more of your dice, and I'm pretty sure after this episode, we're going to be seeing a lot more of your dice going up on socials. Who should we be following? Who should we be looking for? Are there any other interesting, you know, dice makers? Any other, you know, people that you kind of really get excited when you see them pop up on Instagram?
Yeah, well, I first have to say Revel Broker Productions. You should follow them. They're the whole reason I'm doing what I'm doing. They always have great dice, very friendly and very helpful if you want to get into dice making. So if that's you, I definitely would say give them a follow. I mean, we've talked about her far too much tonight. Nichelle is a reliable rogue.
She's worth it.
Yes, absolutely. Ugh, wonderful dice. I'm always amazed at everything she posts. And I wish that I were a very wealthy man so that I could buy all of her dice.
Yeah.
And not even use them, just stare at them two or three times a day.
Yeah.
Which I may or may not do with a set of hers that I own already. So, and I will get my hands on those potion dice too. It will happen. Anyways, what were we talking about?
Nichelle.
Some other makers I enjoy watching, Navy's Oddities. She does a lot of Ren Faire traveling, but her dice are always so brightly colored and such unique, like, color matching, like, just very eye-pleasing, aesthetically pleasing dice. And Shifty Charlatan. She's got some wonderful dice as well that I enjoy looking at. Again, if I had more money, I'd be buying all these dice. What else? I have a good friend, Helios Dice. They make some fun dice as well, and they also like to experiment with some of my designs. So there, if you want to see some fun shapes come out every now and then, that's someone you can follow.
Yeah. What about outside of dice?
Outside of dice. Oh, no. Oh, no.
just to put you on the spot. You know, what about some nerdy leather workers or something?
Yeah, Prince Armory. They make beautiful sets of armor, and they also sell patterns so that you can make your own sets of armor. I've made a few other things there. Yeah, if you're into leather or want to get into leather, Prince Armory. Diesel Punk Row, I think is his name. He has some good leather patterns, obviously very steampunk designs if you're into that sort of thing. What else?
I was just going to check your Instagram and see who you're following, but you're following nearly 3,000 people.
I've followed far too many people. I need to fix that.
Yep. Sorry to anyone who's on the list.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I need to do some cleaning up. It's bad. If anybody wants to ask me any more questions, DM me. I'm friendly.
And so, yeah, I was going to say, Instagram's the best place to reach out to you.
Yes, absolutely. It's probably the only place I'll notice you talking to me.
Do you have a website yet?
I use Ko-Fi. I'm going to call it Ko-Fi.
Yeah, you're kind of looking at me there, but no one ever knows how to pronounce that.
I call it Ko-Fi.
Ko-Fi.
Because their logo is a coffee cup. So I'm going to call it Ko-Fi.
But you can't kind of say go to Ko-Fi.com and, you know, expect to get a coffee bought for you.
But this is where things get confusing with me. I have my Instagram Danmark, my Ko-Fi page Danmark, but I am crazy and have a split personality.
Okay, like that rogue paladin we were talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. I have another Instagram called Salty's Place. It's my new shop that I'm setting up. It's going to be all TTRPG related items. Dice will eventually be there. Right now it's where I'll post a lot of leather designs. The goal is mostly stuff that you can use at your standard session just to flare it up a little bit. And there's a Ko-Fi page for that as well, Salty Sky Emporium. So I have a split personality there. If you get confused, just pick one of the two and DM me. We'll work it out.
Now, just having a look at your Ko-Fi page, you've also got some awesome clothing. You got some nerdy underwear. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Nerdy underwear.
You got some nerdy bikinis. This is some pretty cool stuff.
So I also like to use my art to just make, honestly, I don't really make things for other people. I know that sounds weird. I make a design that I want.
No, not at all.
And slap it on some clothes, and then I buy it, which I'm wearing right now, and hopefully someone somewhere else in the world will want it too, and they can buy it.
And just to clarify to the listeners, we're talking about his t-shirt, not bikini. And David, I think that's about all we've got time for today.
You sure? No, any more rabbit holes we can go down?
Well, I was going to say, any other strange hobbies you've got apart from leatherworking and dice making, dice designing?
I make mead.
Yeah. Mead? Right. That's awesome. Like traditional Viking style.
I bought a book called How to Make Mead Like a Viking, and now I do it and I love it.
And so there's probably going to be another Instagram page then. It's Salty's Mead, right? Is that?
No, I think that was just going to be for me. And if you happen to be in close close proximity to me, you might get some, but I'm not ready to dive into, you know, licensing and
there's a guy on YouTube that it keeps popping up, and he makes all these different meads, and he was making a Mountain Dew mead. Yeah, and he did like a Dr. Pepper one. And interesting point here is Dr. Pepper is not a thing in Australia.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You'll find it in some odd stores, but you know, generally speaking, I don't think it's a taste that Australians really understand.
Glad to see you can still smile and say that.
All right. And that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for listening to Talking Dice. And thank you so much, David Salty Stormtrooper, for joining us today.
Yeah.
And if you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode of Talking Dice. And we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please give us a big thumbs up and leave a review. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/talkingdice if you'd love to help us in the best way possible. And we'll catch you in the next episode of Talking Dice. Goodbye.